Putini friends, welcome in. You're listening to Jawa Chatter, a Star Wars podcast made for those that love the series and newcomers that want a guide to know more. New episodes drop early every Thursday morning. I am one of your hosts, Jeffers, the Middle Ground fan, and with me are a few co-hosts today. First one up is Nerdy, the lover of all things Star Wars.
That's mostly true.
All right. Claudia, the Star
Wars. 96%.
I can't. Claudia, the Star Wars newbie.
Indeed.
And our guest host today, Clarus, the wise.
Sup.
Happy our guest host who's been on every episode except three.
Yeah.
Our standing
well,
guest host.
Well, you wouldn't let me call her anything else. You literally told me you were only allowed to call her our guest host. I'm like, all right, well. He yelled at me.
I stand by that. I just think that it's been a lot of Clone Wars content.
It has.
We sound fancy.
And I'm excited with Obi-Wan coming up and Celebration coming up that we're going to be able to diversify and get into some other stuff because there's other exciting stuff going on in the world of Star Wars very soon.
Does that mean you're going to kick Clarus out or like?
Oh yeah, Clarus is done for.
Wow. In the boat.
Okay. I'm not kicking her out, just for the record.
I'm super excited though because this is our penultimate episode of season one of Clone Wars rewatch.
Yep.
Next week we're gonna be covering the last three episodes, which is really one contained arc, which is really fun on Ryloth. But this week we are covering 115, 117, and 118. Eagle-eyed viewers of the podcast, and by that I mean listeners, will remember that the very first episode of our Clone Wars rewatch took 116, the episode that took us back to the Christophsis stuff from the movie. So this week we're not gonna be talking about that one because we already did it. But yeah, here we are.
Yeah, and happy Revenge of the Fifth, if that's what the day that you're listening. Happy Revenge of the Fifth.
Oh, that's right. That's when this is going up. It's not quite Star Wars Day yet for us.
Yeah. We're recording, it's 2 days before, so. But happy Revenge of the Fifth, you know? And Nerdy's already being revengeful by getting rid of Clarus, so it's great. Okay.
It's in spirit.
I will one day pull an Anakin.
Holy live in fear.
Crap.
That's dark.
Okay. Well, obviously,
I don't know where I was going to go with that. I didn't want to finish the
Force choke.
That's kinky.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you pregnant with twins and then turn to the dark side.
All right.
And then you're going to be so upset that you just die, I guess.
Pass away. Just
she died of a broken heart. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Padme.
Come on.
It's Palpatine.
Yeah.
It's Palpatine.
Queen at 14.
She
died of broken heart.
Queen at 14.
Yeah.
All right, Trespass, episode 15, season one. As you can see, I'm going to keep going. This was something. This was, honestly, I have to say, this was the most straightforward Clone Wars episode I think we've kind of witnessed in the sense that, like, I don't know, it's just, to me, it was just clean cut and dry. It's just like, this is it. This is what's happening. There really wasn't a whole lot of, like, to me, there wasn't a whole lot of, I don't know how to really say it. I don't want to say substance, but yeah, kind of. It was just kind of like, this is what's happening. Like, the mystery of it lasted for a whole 2 minutes of, like, what could this be? Like, you almost thought it was going to be, like, this thriller Clone Wars episode. And then I was like, nah, just kidding. It's just like, you know, this alien race that lives on this planet is, you know, killing both factions. That's it.
Yeah.
It felt like it was a setup for a two-parter, though. Because I was waiting for the twist that was going to lead into the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
And because they just kind of, like, this is one where they came up with an idea and then they tied it in a bow real quick. They were like, we're done
real
with this.
Quick.
We're never coming back.
Yeah. There was like this is what happened and this is the moral of the story.
Yep.
And there's no really like gray area. Like it was very much, this is a kid's show. This is right to the point.
Yep.
And this is what we want you to walk away with.
And the point is
come on. You got this.
colonialism
Attaboy.
Is bad.
It is bad.
It is bad.
Yeah. It was a spoon-fed episode for sure and a spoon-fed moral.
Especially because the leader of...
My God, he was just so... it was such an extreme character of just like, for no reason at all, just like, this piece of crap wasteland planet is ours. This is ours because we were in the solar system first and this is ours and we're going to kill anybody. I'm like, dude, you didn't even like... Why? Like, and he just never gives a reason other than just like...
Yeah.
We've been here forever, and they're savages, and we're not, and we really want this snow planet that's basically a recreation of Hoth. For the most part, it's pretty much useless unless you're hiding out from the Empire, but they don't exist yet, so yeah, it makes no sense in that regard.
There's honestly a part of me that thought that this whole episode, the first time they did it, was rendered with the younger girl of that. I thought that this was Ahsoka's people, because the senator...
Or the
I know that Talls are the furry aliens, but the Pandoran.
I think you might be right.
She's very clearly Ahsoka's face model.
Yeah.
And so I was like, was Ahsoka originally in this episode? And then they like reworked it and they just like painted over the model. Because I just found it very odd that she was so young. She's like the child senator.
Yeah.
Either they were like going for like a Padme vibe or they were, I don't know.
Could have just been a copy and paste art style thing. Just like, oh, well.
Yeah, just saving a buck.
I did like her outfitting though. It was pretty cool looking for the senator. I was like, oh, I like this. Yeah. This is some good costuming on this one.
I approve
of the hair accessories, the gold.
Mm-hmm. The only part that actually confused me was why this guy that he's the ruler of this planet or the planet, whatever, that they're from. Why does he get to tell the clones what to do? I'm aware. This makes no sense. Look, I said this the entire time we're watching. I'm like, okay, first off, this is the army of the Republic, not the army of this person's planet. And same with the Jedi. And he was just like talking as if like they had to do what he said. And even like Obi-Wan and Anakin let the clones go with him. I'm like, why? Why? I don't understand that part.
I did not get why the clones even like listened to him. Because sometimes Anakin and Obi-Wan would also be like, and the clones would be like, well, somebody told us to do something. So we're just going to have to like.
Well, and it's the only time like if the senator had told them to do something, I would have bought it. But because he's like the local alderman, he's the local king or whatever of their planet. I don't want to diminish that, but he has a line early on where he's like, do you know what war is like? And the senator girl's like, no, even though she's saying completely rational things. Right? Yeah. Like her point is she's like, well, she's what like, if we don't have to fight them?
Well, at that part, she's like, how do you know that it's the separatists?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it doesn't matter.
And so I think like the roles had been flipped and he'd been the senator and she had been the like local person. I think that what happens would have made more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of the only time where clones listen to a local king.
Yeah.
And he's talking as if he's like a war general, but he has two bodyguards with him who are terrible with their weapons.
That's what I mean. Like, he doesn't even bring his own army. He just like relies on the Republic and treats it like it's his own. That's not how it works. I've never seen that before.
He declares war with two bodyguards and then all Obi-Wan and Anakin do is like, just make sure he doesn't die. And I'm like, I didn't get
great
that.
Plan.
Well,
great
plan. At the cost of every other person
but
with
that's,
them.
But that's right. Exactly it, right? Like, he's like, no, we're going to war. The Republic, go for it.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Phantom Menace when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon were like, we can't, like, it was before there was a Republic army, right? It was before they had entered into a war and they were just helping the Trade Federation. And Qui-Gon literally says, I can protect you, but I cannot fight a war for you. And then it kind of felt like that when they sent the clones. I'm like, why is he bossing them around and why are you letting them go with him? This isn't the same situation as episode one. This is literally the Republic's army. And all you have to do is not send the clones. And then, let me see this guy go there with his two bodyguards and take them all on by himself. He's not going to do it. He'll chicken out.
But also, where are they going? Like, the most confusing part of this whole episode is they leave and then they get chased. And Anakin and Obi-Wan are like, we're going to go get back in the flying ships.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, where? So they're going on this like death race through the canyon to a bridge to something. Meanwhile, everybody else is on the LAATs. And I was like, why? where were they going the whole time? What was the purpose of any of this episode?
The other thing as well is when the guy is like, I declare war. There's like five people from the Republic or like what, like that side. And like, 50 of these aliens just surrounding them. Like, they could have just attacked right then and won, and it wouldn't have.
They fought with like
some weird rules of engagement where they can't fight in that place, so they have to go 10 feet outside to start fighting.
I think it was more those people. I think that the tiny message of that was just like this tribe of aliens was more like honorable than just this one guy who has an entire planet is kind of like the like very tiny silver lining, I guess, theme of it. But either way,
100%. The talls are not in the wrong. They're
not
totally
at all.
Right.
It's not just, at all.
I do want to call out my wife, the Clarooster over here. I'm
Clarooster.
Proud of her.
I love that.
Clarooster. She the talls show up and she was like, oh, hey, they're from A New Hope. Yeah. And I was like, yes, she's recognizing things from other Star Wars media. I'm a happy husband.
Yeah. I was like, wait a second. That looks familiar.
I've seen those before.
Yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
Which means that
it was the dangle
point,
thingy. It was the dangle thingy.
Yeah.
Where were they in New like, Hope?
Draw. They were in the bar.
They're in the cantina.
Yeah. Oh. Whenever I saw it, I was like, are these Tusken Raiders of ice? Like, you know, like they just like ice planets? Because like that's what it felt like to me.
Basically.
Well, and it actually made me think, like, I had never really thought about it, but if this is where the Talls are from and they're not spacefaring, at what point did they become spacefaring in order to end up on Tatooine?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it does, right? Like, it's 20 years later, after First Contact, there's a good chance that, like, the Pantorans set up some sort of, like, envoy or ambassadorship.
That's and true. Then there might have been they were much friendlier calls. After this.
Yeah,
and, like, who knows? There's, like,
maybe he's like the one Talls that left home. Suddenly I'm like, I want the like Disney Plus series.
There he is.
One
there
Talls that's like on this like ice planet. It's like,
why
you know
are
what?
You such a cliche
fan.
Star Wars fan? It's like, I want to know about the one character that we don't have a backstory for.
There's memes about this.
who goes from so like cool. the cold ice planet and wants to like go see Tatooine, which is like the hottest desert.
Yeah.
Like,
why is he there?
Which is ironic because Anakin.
He's like, you know, I'm from Chicago. I hate the cold. And I went to Austin, you
that's
know,
a
like
good point.
I went somewhere warmer. Yeah, like,
that's a good point.
You know, there's plenty
that's
of people
the
that migrate
story.
South.
Who needs Andor? Cancel Andor. Give me.
Wow.
The Lonely Talsman.
Wow.
The Lonely Talsman. I love it.
Cancel Andor with they're planning on 3 to 5 seasons.
Oh, cancel Andor. I'm very excited. I'm very excited for season 2 when K2 shows up.
It is ironic because actually Anakin gets out and says, and they were joking, like him and Obi-Wan. He's like, yeah, this is definitely no Tatooine, which is ironic because then one of the Talls goes to Tatooine. I don't.
In terms of ships.
Ships.
The snow speeders in this episode, the clone snow speeders, are so cool.
They are cool.
I want a Lego set of one of those with like the glass Lamborghini doors. I was like, this is rad.
I was trying to think, do we see these again? Because I don't remember seeing these again.
I've seen like half the things in Clone Wars. We see none of it ever again.
I've
it
never
is crazy
those.
To me how much design work goes into Clone Wars stuff that's used one time.
Yep.
Yeah. You're like, oh,
we've
used
built
it
this
once.
Incredible ship.
Throw it into the trash can. We've used
you know
it
what
once.
It is?
We're done.
They probably just like didn't buy enough storage.
iCloud didn't exist yet, so they didn't have a place to put the model.
Or they didn't have the like My Drive or whatever it is for Windows or whatever it is, right? Like
I just like that
they had
like,
to design something new each time because they didn't have anything from previous.
I just like that they were like, we're gonna design a cool ship every episode, but all the girls are gonna have the same face model.
Yeah.
We knew where the time counted for us.
We
it
had to
all based on that.
They had to save the buck for the cool ships, okay?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Well, because they can sell a lot of toys of the ships, but you
we've
know.
Never seen that toy. I would have bought
it.
I would have bought it, Clarice.
I would buy that toy. I would buy that Lego set in a heartbeat.
I'd buy it right now.
Yeah,
no
I want that. They just put out a new
Lego.
Luke's land speeder. And like it's Luke's land speeder, but like at the same time, I'm like, I kind of want that Lego set.
There he is. So for this episode, I don't really want to honestly spend too much time on it because it's so cut and dry. I actually, and we haven't done this in a while, but this is one episode where I like a lot of the random side stories in Clone Wars that maybe don't connect to the overall arcing narrative, but honestly, this is one you could skip, in my opinion. I do not think, like, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it and you thought about watching it, I think you'd easily skip over it and you would miss nothing from the show.
No.
I don't even remember the Pantorans coming back. Like, they're an alien. Nah. They might be in future episodes, but
maybe,
like,
but I don't remember.
I like the Senator.
Easter egg. The Senator was great. Like, as a character, she was great.
Yeah. She was well written.
I don't remember her coming back ever.
Yeah. The only thing is that it's the same aliens from A New Hope. Or like in the bar. That's literally it.
Yeah,
that's the only
thing. And you want to have a side story like nerdy about the one lone
100%.
Tall.
The Talls, yeah. There are 11 more clone deaths. And it's kind of one of the first times that we're told the number of clones who die. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 11 dead clones for also one of the shortest wars in history, right? Like they're at war for like 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Even that,
also, I also want to call out Pantoran government. Runs like a well-oiled machine.
Right, she just phoned it in. They're like, yeah, he's out of line. Cut him out. You're in charge.
go.
That's it.
They impeached the president in like a half hour.
Yep.
They had on, I mean? They had on standby. They're like, this guy's a little unhinged. So like,
they knew.
They're all just sitting there. They've been waiting to impeach him. They're like, any reason. Just give us any reason. They're just sitting by their phones like, yeah, that's good enough. Yeah. I mean, vote yes. Vote yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that, I love the clone troopers like, clone snowtroopers, because you see snowtroopers in Empire Strikes Back. Yep. I really like the clone version. I think I like the clone version better than the Empire's, so like that was pretty cool. But other than that,
well, and Anakin and Obi-Wan have, Anakin and Obi-Wan have Canada Goose jackets.
Yeah.
That's true. Like, they look
very
good.
Like Western American.
No. They're branded.
Puffy coat.
They're branded with Star, you know, Jedi silk robes. It's the same material. It's branding. Same branding.
Yeah.
I know, but they even have like the fur. I was like, those are just winter jackets. Like that's the most.
But if there was a Canada Goose jacket that looked like one of those, would you buy it?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I knew it. Yeah. I was like, immediately yes. Yeah.
I only got three physical gifts for my birthday last week, and it was a Star Wars coffee maker,
yep,
a Stormtrooper baseball cap.
Amazing.
and a set of Grogu coffee mugs.
Amazing.
Everything had the Disney branded Star. I was like, oh my god, I'm so easy to buy for.
Yeah. That's great. People love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It was fun. I can't wait to use that coffee maker. I'm excited.
So episode 17, season one, Blue Shadow Virus. It is, we return to Naboo.
And we return to Jar Jar. To the classic gimmicky punchline of German scientist gonna kill all the people.
No, Nazi scientist. I want to be very clear.
Oh, yeah.
Nazi scientist. And yes, I think that is, I would bet money at this point that's not Ahmed Best again. There's no way. That did sound like him. That was,
it's the different Jar Jar.
That was, I'm going to be honest, like that was a rougher Jar Jar performance than I'm even used to. Like that was, no offense to the voice actor, I'm sorry, but wow.
It's not great. And Jar Jar doesn't need to be here in these two episodes.
He doesn't need to be there. Value. The only thing Jar Jar does is he knocks over the shelves and he's like, oh, this specific bug is only in this like one square mile of the swamp.
Yeah, but that's where Jar Jar should have been like, hey, you stay here.
Oh, they brought him with, and then he accidentally fell on the cover and found the base underground.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, sent off the tripwire, essentially, the pressure sensors. So.
Did we all think he was going to have a romantic storyline casually with that little farmer?
I forgot.
Like a Gungan?
Because
I definitely did. I
forgot about that character, and I thought he was. I couldn't remember. I was like, do they have a thing? I don't remember.
But also, like, why is she so hot, baby?
Toys. It's all about the toys.
Did they ever sell an action figure of her? That would be very funny.
I doubt
it. She's an unsightly shade of pink for like a living thing to be.
It's like magenta.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, okay.
And her eyes are.
I'm surprised like Barbie let them use that color. Mattel should have sued.
And her eyes are kind of like really like she has no pupils and it's kind of scary.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong.
It's an interesting design. But like also like where is her brain? Her head is like this thick.
Oh my god. It's,
it was very small. That is true.
They get a lot better at 3D modeling the Gungan heads in later seasons.
Thank god.
Like Jar Jar's head especially is really rough. Like it seems like the like stalks of his eyes change size every time he's on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just like when they were trying to figure out this animation style, there was a lot initially that was difficult about that. And so that gets more consistent later. But even, Jar Jar, when his head is in the helmet, there's times where I'm like, why is the helmet still shaped like a human head?
And right, his head is like twisted, he has the bodysuit on.
Can we,
So the premise of this episode is that the new Queen of Naboo and Typha Panaka are freaking out because they found some droids. And so they call Jar Jar and Padme back to mm-hmm. assess the situation because they're going to make everything better. Padme will, but Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And they get back and they are doing brain surgery on a droid.
Yep.
Something that we don't see them do at any other point.
Nope.
Nice little lobotomy. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not what a lobotomy is.
Is that not a lobotomy? Yeah. Is that not the brain one?
A lobotomy is in your brain, but it's when you lobotomize someone, you like shove a thing in there and you like scrape away the frontal lobe, I think it is, whatever's right here. Basically, and it just makes you like kind of more complicit, like.
Obedience. Well, it depends on the lobotomy. So a lobotomy is just when you remove a lobe of the brain, right? Okay. And so what a lot of reasons that lobotomies are performed is because you have like overactive electrical signals in your brain causing strokes is one reason. And so they'll actually remove the piece of the brain that is having those too many electrical signals. I watch a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
Shonda Rhimes, can't beat her.
So, but a lobotomy is specifically not like removing information from someone. It's specifically removing a piece of your brain so that it doesn't interfere with the signals that are hitting the rest of your brain.
So did they remove the droid's like vision center of the brain, and that's why he's like wakes up and can't see?
I was using the word lobotomy made it weird to me.
Yeah, it did.
Because then they just interrogate him. Like, they don't lobotomize him in any way. They just like turn off his eye sockets and then are like, "You're in the Separatist base.
I'm Count Dooku.
Yeah, yeah."
And C-3PO, they're like, "C-3PO, do your spy stuff." And I was like, "Does C-3PO do spy stuff?"
No.
What's your MI6 mode? You know, your James Bond mode of language.
It's like, have you met C-3PO? Like,
yeah.
Worst person for the job.
Yeah.
But gets it done. Like, ultimately gets the information that they need. Jar Jar does it. And so they realize that there's this virus, this blue shadow virus that has been long eradicated from the galaxy.
Generations.
Somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, we eradicated smallpox, so.
Yeah, by vaccinating against it, which means that we knew how to deal with it. How did they get rid of it if they don't know how to deal with it? I'm assuming with this root. And when they say generations, I think they mean like 100 generations. And that's why.
Oh, I was thinking
like, they don't have like a memory of how they got rid of it. But clearly the route that they go get in the next episode is how they got rid of it. Right?
I was thinking even higher. I was thinking like, honestly, like I thought they're talking about at least 1,000+ years just because they kept saying like generations, and they kept making it sound like it's been so long since they've needed the cure that they basically just like lost it essentially because it's been so long. Either way.
Yeah, and so the premise of this episode is that somehow Count Dooku and the Separatists built a like giant underground compound on Naboo with nobody noticing.
No one. Not the Gungans. Not the Naboo, neither. And then they have a mad massive doctor.
And yes, there is a German alien.
Nazi is kind of how I refer to him, because I think he's very much fits that stereotype.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the solution here is not just to call Padme and Jar Jar. It is to send both of them, just the two of them, to then go investigate and find said lab and send no backup whatsoever.
To be fair, Padme, they are sending backup. Padme wants to go.
Padme's like,
we're just going to handle it.
And of course.
Tanaka's like,
also
hey,
Jar Jar.
Like, maybe wait for the Jedi. Like, they're like calling the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, when Typha Panaka is in a meeting, I recommend you listen to the man. The man is an intelligent man. He knows what's up. And when he says, hey, maybe wait for the Jedi, and then you immediately get captured without accomplishing anything, you should have waited for the Jedi.
To be fair, every time I've seen Padme talk to him, she has basically almost every single time ignored his advice, be it movie or show otherwise. Like, she just kind of like,
true.
Even though he's right, you are right. He is right most of the time, but she just seems to ignore it altogether. I'm like, you know, Padme, maybe, I don't know. Maybe just listen to your advisors. I think that's why they're
listening
there.
Listening is a skill.
It is.
So then they get captured immediately.
Oh,
or no, they find the Gungan woman, and they send her back to like tell Panaka and the Jedi about what's going on. Yep. And then they just keep going, and they find the base. They get captured immediately. The Jedi land. Of course, Padme asks for her boyfriend and Obi-Wan.
Husband.
Husband.
And you really like this.
That corrected you.
Oh, they're
well.
Married at this point. Yeah, you're right. Husband.
Yeah.
You what? Called out why this was brilliant.
What?
Well, give you credit here. Wow, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, because she's like, because the Gungans love Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That was what, yeah. So you must have called it out when you guys were watching it. But yeah, Padme used the excuse to kind of cover her tracks. But she is right. The Gungans all love Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan was with Qui-Gon. He worked with them very closely. And the Naboo, like literally, basically the whole planet knows Obi-Wan, and they all love him. So it was a very good kind of like, you know, keep it secret.
It was a smart way for her to get her husband there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And Clarus at some point called it, but does not remember. She's just so smart. She's going through too many smart thoughts.
I think she just blacked out.
Nah, she's just throwing them out. She's got this. So they get captured. Shocking.
I just was like really hung up on the hazmat suits. The like rubber skin tight.
They were
rubber skin tight for Padme, and then Jar Jar. I don't know what Jar Jar's wearing, but then they get captured, and then suddenly they're in their like before clothes. And I was like, so did they wear the like rubber latex over top of the like robes that they were wearing before? I was just very confused by it.
Yeah, no, because they're wearing like flowy like ceremonial stuff.
Yeah, they
no,
have, like,
actually,
robes.
Padme isn't. Padme's midriff is out. Yeah. Padme's wearing like a like it looks like she's like cosplaying Jasmine from Aladdin a little
we've
bit.
We've seen her wear that in a previous
like, harem pants.
Yeah.
And like her midriff is out.
I just mean there's like many layers of fabric there, and like and that hazmat suit was very tight.
Also, yeah, it like zoomed in on her butt while they were
The scientist was like,
I was like,
dude, I know she's got a nice butt, but you got to be a little more subtle in this kids show, right? Like, don't just.
Yeah. I mean, he was a Nazi, so I don't know how subtle they wanted to be in this.
He wasn't literally a Nazi. He was
to bring back the virus because the humans, we murdered the virus by getting rid of it, and I'm so excited to kill all the people.
Yeah, this was
like, oh wow.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
So they get to the end of the episode. And Ahsoka, Anakin, and Obi-Wan show up, and then they just are like, "Ahsoka, go!
Yeah,
go. We're gonna stay here."
I said that to Claudia.
You go figure it out.
Why did they leave Obi-Wan and Anakin there, but only sent Ahsoka and some clones? I was like, "What? What are you doing? This makes no sense."
Yeah. Oh, that's not even the end of the episode. This episode is the whole thing because the next episode is when they break down there.
Yeah.
With bombs,
right?
And so
this episode's tough.
What's tough about it is that they blow up the ceiling.
Oh my god! It's the most dangerous thing you could do.
Spots. But then in the later part of the episode, after the virus has escaped the bomb, and they're like, we can't let them open any of the doors.
Well, that's the end. Yeah. That's at the end of like, next episode.
No, that's the end of this. Well, right. But the virus escapes at the end of this episode, right?
Yeah, yeah. Can't let any droids out.
They're talking like if the droids open any of the doors, the whole planet's gonna die.
And it's like you already blew holes.
There's giant holes in this. What are you talking about?
You also don't see the extraction mission of them out of the hole ever either.
No, that's the next episode, Claude. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to focus on this episode.
Sure. Sure, but
she's talking about next.
Claudia's right. Like, there's no consistency.
No, not at all. I'm assuming what they're saying is like that area was closed off after it was blown a hole and they got through. I don't know, but obviously we never see that. It's a bunch of it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Clone Wars logic.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Clone Wars logic.
I'll just quickly throw out the rest of the things that happen this episode, and then we can talk about them so we can like get through the plot parts. So Anakin shows up in the room where Padme is, but the evil German scientist has a Tesla machine that can torture Padme and Jar Jar somehow.
Yeah, that was random.
With directed lightning. And so Anakin gives up his weapons, and all the clones give up their weapons, and then the German scientist is like, I cannot hold you for long, even though he could just kill him at that point. Yeah. He's like, their guns pointed, whatever. So he's like, I cannot hold you for long, but you have to choose between stopping me and stopping Padme, saving Padme.
And then he does
And so then Anakin does both, because,
he's a Jedi.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan is around, I guess. He just kind of, like, pops in and out of hallways throughout this episode.
Oh, yeah.
He shows up to save Ahsoka by coming through the ceiling that leads to outside. So at some point, Obi-Wan Kenobi left, found where Ahsoka was, and then blew up the floor beneath himself.
Hey, Jedi Force radar, all right? We know that it's a thing.
So then Obi-Wan Kenobi gets to the room of bombs.
Yep.
Which looks like so many, I probably couldn't even count them when I first walked in the room.
Yeah.
And they start disabling them by hand.
Yeah.
So one by one.
And there's five clones? Six, maybe? At best?
But
this also brings up that, like, at some point in this episode, Anakin's like, I'm going to get the bomb squad. And I'm like, did you know that the plan was bombs? Like, why did you bring a bomb squad? Or does every clone every time they go on a mission, are there some clones with them who are like the designated bomb squad for the mission?
Just standing by.
Yeah.
That's part of SWAT, you know? There's the bomb squad. Every time they go, the clone squads, there's the bomb squad within it.
I liked their armor at least. Their armor's kind of cool.
Yeah, they're
their armor's cool.
They fight the Nazi on a platform.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the final bomb and he starts throwing the vials around. Yeah. And every Jedi in the scene forgets. Well, but every Jedi forgets that they can use the Force, and they start jumping around to catch them by hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they wanted to be like, Tom Brady. They were like, Tom Brady, let's catch him.
Tom Brady throws him.
Oh, never mind.
He doesn't catch him. That's a good
football.
Try. That's a good try.
2-12.
Obi-Wan literally like throws himself off of the platform to catch these.
That look at hurt.
You have the Force. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you literally have
seems like the worst choice, but okay.
And so as this rising platform that the guy's on, the pink Gungan is at the top. She like hits him in the head. It's great. Mm-hmm. She gets her moment to save the day.
Yeah.
The rabbit thing blows up a bomb because I don't know.
Well, she took the bomb from him, and so they thought they had all of them accounted for, and then it was showed very quickly in the next episode. It's like, just kidding. Even though we thought this was wrapped up in a bow, we're just kidding. The vial is missing out of that bomb. Ta-da! The rabbit droid has the vial.
The evil Energizer
rabbit droid. Why did the rabbit droid go? Why was it like, I'm gonna go blow this up?
I don't know. He like put it in another bomb and then blew up the entire room of bombs.
Yeah.
But the vials have been taken out of them, apparently.
He was explicitly told by the German scientist Nazi thing to keep it safe.
Yeah.
And then at like his first opportunity, he's like, nah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna blow this up.
That's a devil droid. It's a devil droid.
And myself, right? He kills himself in doing that.
Yeah. He didn't make it to Book of Boba Fett.
No.
Not the same. Can you imagine if it was the same rabbit droid, though?
That'd be so funny.
Like, if canonically those were the same droid.
Droid story, and it's all about the rabbit bunny, like, droid getting from there to there.
Oh, I want to see that journey. I'd watch that series.
That is the plot of the upcoming Disney Plus series, A Droid Story, starring Anthony Daniels as C-3PO.
Oh, my God.
Evil bunny robot, yeah.
So that's kind of where this episode leaves off. I like this episode a lot. I like the storyline a lot. I think it's fun that the Separatists are playing with literal war crimes.
When bioweapons,
Anakin and Obi-Wan are so often committing war crimes.
I am confused at a couple. I mean, you know, it's Clone Wars logic, but like, why didn't he just blow up the bombs? He clearly wasn't afraid of dying. He said that at the end. He's like, oh yeah, I'll be taking. He's like, he was like laughing because there was one still left at the next episode. He's like, oh, we're gonna die with. I'm going to die. We're all going to be taken by the virus. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, if you don't care, why didn't you just blow them all up if you knew you were going to get captured? And that's one thing I don't understand.
He was hoping to get away so that he could get it to the other galaxies.
I know. But like, you know, once the Jedi popped in, he must have known like, all right, this plan's pretty much over.
I also question, I think it would have made more sense if he wasn't a Separatist.
Yeah.
Because what's weird about it is that like, I don't know why the Separatists would want to do this because they're not.
So many droids? Of the Separatist like droids are organics.
Army.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It makes no sense.
It's very odd to me that they would introduce a virus that could wipe themselves out.
Yeah.
I mean, found that very confusing.
Technically, the like one cure is in Separatist space.
It would have, but they don't even seem to wear it. It would have made more sense if they'd been like, he was with us. He's gone off the radar.
Yeah.
We're not in control of him anymore. That would have made more sense, actually. But the droids don't know that, and they're just listening to him. That would have made a bit more sense than what.
But also, he disappeared a decade ago. Like, why? What was he doing?
Never explained. For a decade? Never explained.
He's such a like fascinating villain.
Is he?
In the terms of like, we never see like bioscientists in Star Wars.
No.
You know what I mean? No, we never see them play with like diseases and stuff like that. He's been missing for 10 years and somehow came to work with the Separatists. And like he managed to resurrect a generation's dead virus. How, I don't even know how you go about doing that. Like there are elements here that are super interesting, but it's packaged in like, I am a Nazi alien. And you're
I couldn't get past that part. I was just like,
a little on the nose.
It makes it tough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what else is tough?
Oh boy, here we go.
Ahsoka's dying of the blue shadow virus.
My favorite part about before she was dying was when they jumped through the safe room, and like you literally see some of the airborne virus get through. And I was like, oh, that doesn't seem good. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, the alarm's going off. Some of it got through. I'm like, you didn't visually see it come through?
We did.
We did. I saw it. I'm so confused. Like, how did you not know?
But also, like, do airborne viruses, like, I just feel like they would move faster. Like, it felt weird that they were, like, outrunning an airborne. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it didn't make sense when, last episode, when Padme and Jar Jar were out, like, the open plains. And I'm like, look, lady, if you're wearing this suit, if it's already that bad, it's over anyways. I don't even know why, like, you're even, like, freaking out. Like, they're not going to cure it. If it is airborne on the entire planet, which is basically what it would have to be at this point, because you can't isolate one little open air area, then it's pretty much over anyways. So, like, it was just, it's the whole logic of the airborne virus doesn't make sense.
Well, and also, like, they seem so unconcerned about the waterborne virus that's going to kill all of the Gungans.
I forgot about that. Holy crap.
There's so much going on. And, like, the episode forgets about the fact that the entire water supply of Naboo is contaminated.
Yeah.
Do they have water treatment plants in these cities? Like,
I don't think they're looking for a generations-old virus.
Are they just putting root in it? They're just like, let's crush up. They only got, like, what, two roots on
them? They only get one root.
They got one root.
I was like,
they got one root. And the other thing, though, is that, like, when those, like, I don't know, they look like giant ticks. That have like the weird like animal things. They
the
look
hippo?
Like, you know,
I think they're called like moof cows or something.
I don't
like
know.
That.
They look like ticks when they
drank the water and like half of them died. And it was like, oh, that's dark.
Immediately. And like, luckily, you know, Ahsoka and the clones last a little bit longer. But like for them, they fully just like tasted the water and keeled over. And I was like,
I think that is about the difference between drinking the water versus
breathing
the aerosolized version, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Maybe. We'll go with that.
Yeah. How many Gungans died off screen?
No, they're called Shacks.
Shacks.
Yeah, okay.
I was wrong. Well, this episode takes us on a kind of a whirlwind, weird adventure. Like, we have two parts to it. We got Ahsoka and the clones who are like, well, we're infected anyways. Let's go in there and let's stop them from opening those hatches, because if this gets out, everyone on Naboo is dead. And I'm like, okay, we'll ignore the holes that are already in the ceiling. It's fine. Let's keep going.
In the landing pad.
And then,
don't forget that either.
And then just to skip ahead just a tiny bit in their part of the story, I knew this was going to happen when Padme's running around in her suit and Jar Jar is too. And sure enough, Jar Jar does something stupid and she tries to stop him. And he basically opens up her suit with his mistake. I'm like, okay, Anakin might be a little mad about that later, but that's fine. Let's continue on.
A little bit.
Oh, and Padme almost dies because of Jar Jar in this
100%.
Episode. 100%. It is a joke at the end of the episode that
joke.
He's going to be taught how to use a blaster.
Yeah, and it's a joke. Like, he almost killed her.
No.
I'm surprised Anakin didn't force choke him right there, and that
I'm
wasn't his turn.
That wasn't
side.
His first force choke. Was
That's
Jar Jar?
I can't believe that wasn't the turn.
Just in general, not even just this episode. There's so many episodes where I'm like, damn, I'm surprised he didn't, you know, force choke.
Well, it could have been subtle too, right? He just been like, you know, when no one's around, and like Anakin's not even looking at Jar Jar. Jar's just like standing over there by himself. He's maybe just like a little bit of a choke and just like.
Just a little bit of a tickle.
Yeah, a little bit of a tickle in the throat.
I've got a sore throat.
It's the worst. And then we go with Anakin and Obi-Wan to, what is the name of this planet again?
It's like Iago.
Yeah. Well, it's not Yato. The bird from Aladdin, but it's close. And
you come to my planet. You're coming in here. You've got to get the root from underneath the big plants.
All right, Will.
Yeah,
R.I.P.
They run into this, like, weirdly, like, mishmash army of droids who are like, welcome to Iago.
Anakin just starts.
Anakin just murders them all. And Obi-Wan's like, congratulations. You just, you know, defeated 17 unarmed droids.
Well, the
one falls.
18.
Actually, it was 18. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to be pedantic about it, but it was 18. This is one of the first times we get reprogrammed battle droids, which
one
is so fun.
Times, yeah.
One's
a radio.
Of it's like
a lot of them
kid.
Are greeters.
Yeah, yeah. And some Vulture droids, which, you know, ends up being important later. But yeah, it's they go to this planet that you can't leave. And what's crazy about this is that, like, the war has only been going on for like 2 years.
Yep.
So you've only not been able to leave this planet for like 2 years. Like, it's not like this has been some like the people of this planet treat it like it's this like religion that they all abide by, but it happened like within all of their lifetimes. They would have all been there the moment that this started.
For sure.
And also, like, that would mean that some of the people who ended up there would have people who are wondering who, like, where they are, and they just never came back.
Yeah.
Also, they never set up that you can't send communications, because Padme and Ahsoka managed to get a communication.
True.
So these people live on this planet in complete isolation with the ability to ask for help. And I guess don't.
They're like, you know what? Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Guys, you got to remember, it's rent free. So I think they might be onto something here.
They figured it out.
Also, Claudia called it. She's like, this is just space Bermuda Triangle. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It really is space Bermuda Triangle. It is.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. They just, I wish they'd gone like two steps further into making it make sense.
Yeah. Because why is that?
Laser beam.
Yeah. Why is the field even there? Why do they feel the need to stop?
Oh, because it's a droid security system.
But
that
why?
Will definitely come back at another time in the Clone Wars.
Another Clone Wars thing.
You know, like, you'd think that they would do this like around some of their biggest bases in general. Never happens.
Yeah.
Let's do it on this planet that we have abandoned and are never going to go back to for no reason.
Why does it stop ships from leaving? I don't know, but if you have the ability to trap ships in space with electricity, it seems like something you should use in other ways.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like a really powerful thing that you've built.
Wait.
And you're like, now we just keep this one child on this planet by himself.
What about the alien race we see for a brief, like a hot minute? The one where the contraption is on their moon. It's like they call them the angels. Do we ever see this species again?
I know, but that is apparently what young Anakin thinks Padme looks like. So
all I'm saying is I'm like, I need to start keeping a tally of all the things we never see again between this arc. Like, I mean, it's a lot. Like, there's a lot of stuff we never see again.
Yeah, 2 years is a really fast time frame to develop a new religion.
It's also like a legend. Like the old guys,
it's
like,
a ghost.
We're never leaving. And the old
one
guy?
The Quarren seems to treat it like it's more of a like a deeper rooted faith.
Okay. Because the one guy that looks like Davy Jones with
that's
his tentacle. Yeah. He was like, whatever came out from behind the barrels was like, you can't leave. We can't leave.
Again, I think that's a pirate reference, honestly.
And then we found out later that he's like part of this kind of like council, but he was like hiding behind the garbage bin.
He's at home. He lives there rent free.
I told you. They're onto something.
Every character we see on screen in this planet is on that council. Like, it's like the one Athorian who is walking in the back.
Yeah.
Like, they all are like...
The child?
Yeah.
The, like, 7, 8, 9-year-old?
Hey, he's got an army of battle droids, to be fair.
He should come back. You'd like, we need a Disney Plus series about that character.
We already had an Anakin. We already had a little kid who was really good with droids. That's Anakin.
That, they bonded for, like, a whole
we
2 seconds.
We need a Disney Plus series about Anakin Skywalker. And, like, how did he get to the Clone Wars? Like, I don't know. It feels like that could be...
This is a really good story in there. Somewhere.
Anyways.
You know, like,
anyways.
How did he join the Jedi?
So they find,
you know what I mean?
They find out that they need to get this root for the cure. Mm-hmm. And again, we set off an adventure that goes apparently just right down that cliffside. Nope, just there. Don't touch the vines. And then again, we have another thing that I don't recall ever seeing again, which is basically a giant Venus flytrap, which I think is what you said while we were watching it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this episode is just so like all over the place a bit. It's just,
what if we animated a Venus flytrap like the Hydra from Hercules?
Oh
yep,
my
god! That's what
gosh.
I thought too.
Also, they don't touch the vines on the way down, and
but
so
it still comes out.
And also, Man Bat from the Batman animated series is also there because the Venus flytrap wasn't enough.
Yep.
We made a 6-foot-tall Man Bat creature to fly them down the
mountain.
Yeah,
he was a taxi ride.
And it was on screen.
Like the little Uber down. Like,
but I like
that. No,
it was on screen for 20 seconds.
Here's the problem. If Jedi can fall out of ships from space.
Thank you.
And land on the ground, why did they need this bat to like ferry them down? Why didn't they just jump?
And Anakin accidentally ends up on the bat and then goes, Obi-Wan, jump. He's like, this is great. We're going to use this thing. I was like, how did he figure it out so fast?
And so then they go down and they only get, which we said this earlier, they only get one root. I'm like, okay, guys, what if, let's just say, worst case scenario, it did get out. or that maybe one route just wasn't enough for more than one person, we're really just gonna gamble on this one route when you're two Jedi with lightsabers against a plant, and we're good with that. We're just gonna bail. All right. Just, you know, whatever.
I don't want to call out the, like, I hate, like, calling out the animation as, like, lazy, because I don't think it's lazy, but I did, it stuck out to me so hard that the one piece of root that they grabbed is
the exact model
from the hologram.
It had, like, the, each individual, like, little, like, piece of, like, root or wood coming from the bottom of it looked exactly like the hologram. It was just, it was just colored in.
It's just so convenient that they were like, oh, yeah, it's this one route. You just got to get this one route from this one planet.
Yeah,
like,
we know the cure, actually, which is, I guess, why we were able to eradicate it.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm assuming.
So,
but yeah, they grab one.
Just one. That's all we need.
So the council tells them not to do it. But Anakin is like, I see vulture droids. We're going to do this. And so...
Well, no, they try to leave first, right? And then they can't.
Oh, yeah.
They try to leave. We kind of waste a little bit of time. They try to leave, and the planet... The field is like, nah, go back. The laser beams are like, go back. You can't pass go. And then even the council's like, I think maybe this nerdy might be onto something about the religious part of it, because that is kind of where it gets a little like superstitious or religious-y, because the guy's like, you were lucky to make it back. It's just like,
the ghost of Droll is keeping you here.
Yeah.
And then they basically, like, what? Anakin basically says a goodbye to his Padawan and his wife, but it cuts out before Padme can say something that will, you know, basically reveal their relationship. Because I think she was going to say something with Obi-Wan right there.
Yeah, reveal the relationship that Obi-Wan is definitely
100%. Well, yeah, but he's like willfully ignorant.
It's Padme.
Willfully ignorant. How can he be willfully ignorant?
He's willfully ignorant. This whole episode, he's like, Anakin.
Senator. You mean Senator Padme? He's like, yeah, Senator Padme. Not my honey bunches of oats.
But we get Claudia's favorite thing about Clone Wars a lot in this episode, which is Anakin being a, like, very, what's the word for it?
Possessive.
Very possessive man.
He's in a hurry the whole time.
Yeah. He gets that message and he's just unhinged.
On Anakin's side,
Yeah.
Like, people are dying of a virus. And Obi-Wan's like, we've got time. And I'm like, no, you don't.
I think Obi-Wan's just like, let's think about it for just 10 seconds so that we don't make a mistake in the first second. And that sets us back even further. That's, I think, the only point Obi-Wan's trying to make. But yeah, I do get Anakin kind of being in a hurry. Like, I get it. But he's just like angrily in a hurry the whole time.
He was in the previous episode, too. Like, whenever she got caught and he's like, how can you be so calm? Like, the whole world's at stake. And he's like, I just show it better than you do.
No, I just
like,
hide it better than you, too.
Yeah. And he's just like completely unhinged.
Well, which isn't hard to do. I mean,
it's peak Anakin.
Which I don't want to spoil anything, but will be fun later.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That dynamic will be fun later.
Great.
So they do eventually suicide run the vulture droids into the satellite dish.
Yeah.
Well, they do, but then they end up shooting it themselves.
All the murders. Yeah.
Which is weird.
Which just lets them leave.
Team effort.
And so they're like, all right, bye, we're leaving. Have fun with your freedom. We're gonna peace out. And they fly back. Meanwhile, cut back to Ahsoka and the clones and also Jar Jar. I feel like they could have just left Jar Jar in a room. Just been like, my favorite
is that Jar Jar is the only one now with a working suit and he's just watching everyone around him die.
Yeah.
Like,
that's dark, but yeah.
Like,
and he caused one of them. He caused one of them all by himself. One point.
Yep. He's just chilling.
But they're brutal. Like, they're literally like,
oh, it's brutal.
The visual of the like blue dripping out of their eyes and
it's
like,
bad.
It's rough. It's especially in the hologram scene where Padme and Ahsoka call Anakin and you're like, oh my god.
Yeah, this
like,
is
last leg.
Yeah.
Like this is not like
child's television show.
Yeah, we got some heavy death themes here. We definitely watched clones die of a disease and
with their helmets on smartly. They keep the helmets on the dead ones.
The helmets are good for space. They're not good for the virus. I just want to point that out. And then the part that really gets me, though, is, and I really want to like hone in on this. After that first run failed when they're trying to get off the planet, Padme said, no matter what you do, don't let anybody ever open this facility ever again. Now we fast forward to when they get off the planet. They're like, all right, bye, guys. See you later. And I'm talking to Claudia and I'm like, I don't know how they're going to do this because like obviously they can't open it. If they open it, the virus comes out and then the scene cuts and I'm like, what's happening right now? They are literally on stretchers, no explanation whatsoever. They have everybody on stretchers, they're bringing up to the ships, and nobody mentions the fact that they had to open that facility with the virus. I don't understand. I don't know how this happened.
I think I think I figured it out.
Please.
I think that they mushed the root into like, they aerosolized the root and they turned it into an airborne vaccine.
Oh my
God. And then they pumped.
No.
That's a thing.
No.
Look, Operation Warp Speed makes vaccines at a really fast rate now. Okay. So we can pull this off. I think they pumped that vaccine into the facility.
It has to be an antidote because a vaccine doesn't cure you. So therefore you're telling me they made an antidote, which is next level from a vaccine.
I think it's both, right? I think it is a like, it. You know how you like take like NyQuil and it like cures your cold symptoms and it puts you to bed?
Sure.
It like also makes you tired?
Same thing.
So this is like NyQuil, but it is like half antidote, half vaccine.
It's also blue, so.
I will be racking my brain probably till I die trying to figure out how this is a thing. And they just never explain it. It bugs me.
Oh no.
You should pay for the meet and greet experience with Dave Filoni at Celebration and Dave, walk up to him and Dave, just ask Dave, him one question.
Dave, I have one question. Dave.
I want a photo, please. But first.
Please.
No, you
how
know what?
They get
screw
into
the
bunker to cure Padme in episode 118.
Without letting the virus come out. He's like, security, please get this guy out of here.
It's a valid question, though. Like, I was sitting there and I was like, wait, how? Like,
I'm telling you right now, if you ask Dave Filoni that question, he will have an answer. He'd be like,
oh, I'm sure he will.
Yeah. We only had 22 minutes, so we couldn't get into it. But here's how they did it. And he would like draw you like a diagram that's like beautifully rendered of like the machine that
would be
Jar Jar built.
That would be great. Yeah. I wouldn't have to sit here and wonder anymore. I don't care.
My other thing is they're like, previously before they open it, they're running around trying to find the droids in the facility. And they're like, we got to figure out where they are. And meanwhile, previously, they'd been like, there's only three ways in and out of this facility.
We blew up two of them.
Why not just check those doors?
Like, they blew up two of them.
Right, but there's only three. Did they blow up the doors?
They blew up. They blew up two entrances. No, they did one as
they
a distraction.
They blew up random hallways, right? Because when they the two places they drop into are just hallways, right?
Yeah.
And so
the one Obi-Wan drops into,
if there's only three doors the droids can get out of, why are you running around trying to find them? Just go to the three doors.
No idea.
Like, they have schematics, and then they're like, we've got to go hunt for the droids. And they're, like, on, like, a hunt as if they have no idea. They're, like, exploring. And I'm like, you have a map. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. I've got to say, I don't think anyone needs to see any of these episodes. I don't think they're necessary, personally.
Nah.
I really don't. And I think this is the first episode where I've thought all episodes we watch where I'm like, yeah, I don't think any of these are necessary. I don't think you'll lose anything from the overall show by not seeing these.
Yeah, because none of the clones really have any like any personal like any development or personality.
No, just they're there to be killed. We know that.
Yeah, they're just there.
Every episode.
None of like nothing egregious happens to any of our like main characters. We're introduced to people who like never come back again, I think is what it sounds like. And
Yeah, not great. And they're not great. Like on top of like not being like very like relevant to anything. They're fine. They're a little bit jokey in at times when I think that tonally all three of these episodes kind of miss the seriousness that they're attempting.
Yeah.
And I think that the jokes in Clone Wars work in previous episodes because the like subject matter is a little bit lighter. But anytime there's kind of like a joke in, especially in 118, when like they keep cutting back to people literally dying.
Yeah. Well, and like
slowly and violently, it's tough. It's tough to laugh because you're like, Padme's
bleeding blue from the
eyes.
And Rex even said, he was like, you know, because Padme's all upset that the drones are clones are dying.
Yeah.
And like, you know, giving him napkins or whatever. He's like, you know, that it is our job.
That's what we're made to do. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
That was a dark moment. I was like, okay, so
dark.
You know, we've tackled two pretty serious things, colonialism. And then obviously with these two episodes, we handled like bioweapons. And I'm like, this is real dark for you guys to be like, let's throw it out there.
But then it cuts from like that line to like, oopsie day. And you're like, oh, those two things don't go together.
Jar Jar, we're going to teach you how to use a gun. You're just so good at fighting. We're going to give you some training.
Yeah, it's why like the Jar Jar episode works in like the Rodian episode when they're on Rodia.
Yeah,
I don't know why I said it like that, because like the stakes of the episode aren't that high, and so having Jar Jar there pretending to be a Jedi is fun. Like Padme's kidnapped, but they're not going to murder her right away. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she already
escapes. Like immediacy of people's death is not on the table. And Jar Jar in these scenes is tough because you're like, how is this character? I like Jar Jar. I'm a fan of Jar Jar, right?
I know.
I think he's fun in the right settings. But when he, how is he as a character unable to recognize the severity of the situation that he's in?
Yeah.
Because it takes it puts a damper on it for me. And I think that honestly, like if this episode had been handled a different way, this could have been one of the very emotional Clone Wars episodes. And there are going to be some later. Like there are episodes of the show that make me cry. And like this could have been one, but like some of the tonal shifts in it just kind of like pull back too much for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I, on top of it not doing anything for the overall story, I agree with Nerdy. There are side stories we will come across that don't contribute to the overall story of Clone Wars, but they're still very good and worth watching. And I just don't think these three, I don't think any of them has it.
Yeah.
I
think that part of it is that next week's episodes are so big. Like the final three episodes of season one is one contained story, all set on Ryloth, a city that you know, because you've seen The Bad Batch.
Oh yeah.
And I'm so excited to get into it with you guys, because this, honestly, like, The next few episodes are when the show was originally coming out. This is where I actually was like, oh, I'm on board for the show fully. And these next few episodes are why I watched week to week.
Cool.
So I'm actually excited to get into it with you all, because I do love this next section.
Yeah. All right. I'm excited for that after the duds, personally. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we head out? No.
Oh.
We want to talk about.
How many Disney Plus series did I recommend this week? Four? I think there were four. How many Disney Plus series did I say I wanted this week?
You wanted separate characters. You got it up to at least three, maybe four. Yeah.
The Tall's one I want the most,
though. You also wanted to cancel one, though, to get another one. So that kind of like subtraction by addition type thing. So, like, I don't know. You're maybe at like two or three then.
Yeah.
Actually, Andor is supposed to be multiple.
I'm very excited.
It's multiple seasons. So you want to cancel a multiple season show. So
ballsy.
That'll be weird. We haven't yet had a Disney Plus show with a season two.
That's not true, Mandalorian.
I take it back.
I don't know for those.
I was thinking Marvel, and then yeah, I didn't get around to Star Wars in my brain before I said that. I also think the Mighty Duck show had a season two.
Wow.
Great.
Quack. There's also been some talk about Andor, and it's just pure rumors, but apparently it's supposed to be five seasons, but they're already talking about maybe it only being three, which I don't know how that's, if that's true, how that's a decision already, but. I am confused how we haven't heard a single thing really about this show other than just like
it's happening.
And remember,
they put out the featurette with the like sets and stuff when they were building.
Yeah,
them, so
that's not.
They just started really. Filming like I think they start filming next week or like maybe in June. So they're not even filming yet. It's all just scripts and casting at this point.
It'll is it being released in 2023 then?
That's the goal, I think, is what they said.
Okay. Yeah, because. So the thing about Star Wars shows is at some point they're either going to have to have a Star Wars and a Marvel show going at the same week.
Oh, that's going to happen.
Or we're not going to get Ahsoka until the end of next year, right? Because if they're going to keep doing it the way that they're doing it, we're getting Obi-Wan and then we're getting Miss Marvel and then we're getting, I don't even know what's going to be after Miss Marvel. I thought it was going to be Andor, but it doesn't look like it's going
to
be Andor.
Yeah, technically we're supposed to get... I mean, because Nerdy and I, we did this, or the three of us did, Claudia and Nerdy and I, early on in the podcast, we went over the list of what was supposed to come out this year and next year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I believe they, not confirmed, but they were confident that like the next season of Mandalorian is coming out, and then potentially Ahsoka, but that one was on the fence and they weren't sure. I don't see Ahsoka coming out. Maybe Mandalorian season three?
Bad Batch was coming out this year.
Oh, and Bad Batch too. Yeah. Yep, that's true.
So Bad Batch, because it's animated, they don't treat and because those episodes are 16 episodes long.
Yeah,
those seasons, they don't treat it the same. It's not on the same production schedule as the live action stuff.
Got it.
And so they're more willing to let those overlap in terms of their release schedule, because Bad Batch has been coming out for 4 months of the year, right?
Yeah.
So I do think we're gonna get the date announcement for Bad Batch Sunday morning of Celebration. Because their panel is at 11 a.m.
Sweet.
I'm super stoked for it. The last time they did the animation panel, at Chicago in 2019 was the Resistance panel at the end of season one, and they showed the entire first episode of season two. I'm really hoping we'll get the first episode of season two at the Bad Batch panel. It was one of the coolest panels. They gave out these really dope posters. It was so fun. Donald Faison was on stage talking about like his excitement at how happy he was to get to be a voice in Star Wars. Just like literally made me cry in that panel. It was so fun. So I'm really excited for the Bad Batch panel. We're going to do a whole podcast episode for those of you listening, watching, in the Thursday morning that Celebration starts. Our episode about what panels we're excited about at Celebration is going to drop.
Yeah.
So make sure that you subscribe to this everywhere, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, iHeartRadio, all those places so that you can listen to that upcoming episode. It's going
to
be a good one.
And that following week, we'll have a lot to report on because we will have Obi-Wan. Two of its episodes have dropped. We will have everything that we saw and probably some announcements at Star Wars Celebration. Like, we're going to have quite a bit the next couple weeks after, too. So
Star Wars Celebration is going to be crazy.
It is.
It's going to be wild.
We're going to be tired.
And not just because we have to do a panel.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. For those that don't know, and for those that haven't heard, these two, Nerdy and Clarus, and a special guest of their choosing, are doing a panel at Star Wars Celebration. They do a Nerdy book club with the Wheel of Time right now, and they submitted one to a Star Wars one, and it got accepted. So they're doing the new Obi-Wan Kenobi book that's coming out May 10th. So
Brotherhood,
6 days from when you hear this podcast, and they're going to do a whole panel on it. How long is the panel, by the way? I never asked you.
It's an hour.
Okay, cool.
So it's going to be the shortest episode of that.
I was going to say, you guys normally do this. Like, they do it live on YouTube, and it's normally about 4 to 5 hours. And now you're going to try.
No, 2.5. It's a 2.5 hour show Friday morning.
That's less than half the time. You're going to do this in an hour. You're going
to
wreck.
Our audience would love for us to go 4 hours, which is what's so funny about that show is that every week they're like, this section, you're going to be talking about this one for like 5 hours. And we're like, guys, we don't have 5 hours. My voice. I don't know that we can announce who our special guest is yet.
Yeah,
but it's a Star Wars TikToker, which is fun. They make really great content on TikTok about the Star Wars books. So they seem like the perfect guest for the show because they have read every Star Wars book, which is crazy, including like Legends.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah. And also they got an advanced copy of the book. We haven't read it yet. We're going to pick it up on May 10th.
Yeah.
But they have read it and they messaged me today and they're like, look, I just finished Brotherhood. I loved it. I can't wait to talk about it. So I'm so excited to read it now and then talk about it at Celebration.
Yeah. Yay! Yeah. I have it pre-ordered and ready to go. So I will power through it even while going to school. I'm going to do it. Can't wait. And then I will not clap. I don't know. I'm done trying to figure that one out. All right.
Only Claudia doesn't want to clap.
Got it. But you don't want to receive the claps.
No. I want to receive.
Careful. Careful. How are you going to word this? Careful.
I would like for you to clap for our panel.
There you go.
Are you sure you don't want to receive the clap?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I was going to make sure she wasn't going to say
it. Okay.
All right.
I don't not like clapping. I don't like extended curtain calls.
I'm really sorry I brought it up. I'm really sorry about it.
It's going to be brought up a lot.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Where can we find the three of you, Nerdy? Just you
I
first.
Will be at Star Wars Celebration from May 26th to May 29th. Find me there. Come say hi.
Yay.
I'm excited. Follow me around the internet at Nerdy Nightly. But if you see me on the floor at Celebration, come say hi. Mm-hmm.
Clarus?
I'm at Clarus Polaris. I will also be at Star Wars Celebration. And it's going to be fun.
Wow. Okay. Well, so that was convincing. Claudia?
I will also be at Star Wars Celebration, so you can come say hi as well. And you can find me on Twitter at IHateClapping7.
Isn't it IHate_clapping7?
Nope. No underscore.
There's
anymore.
No underscore?
No underscore.
I'm clapping for you.
Thanks.
She hates it. All right. And you can find me at Just Jeffers Games. And I also will be at Star Wars Celebration, even though Nerdy doesn't want me there. Yeah.
I don't hate the sound of clapping. I hate the doing clapping. So when he claps, it doesn't bother me.
I was just talking about how Nerdy didn't want me at Star Wars Celebration. I don't know why you're yelling at me.
I hate the doing clapping is my new favorite sentence.
Thank you so much for watching and listening, everyone. We will catch you next week at the end of season one of Clone Wars. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. May the Force be with you, Utini friends. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.